You have been listening to The Faith Connection with Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio.
Welcome to The Faith Connection.
We pray this message has been a blessing Living Faith Community Church.
To hear the rest of this sermon
or to donate to our ministry, please visit our website at salivingfaith.org. Thank you for listening to The Faith Connection.
Listen, there is a word from the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If you are able to stand in honor of God's word, I ask that you would please stand. I thank God for all of the young people that are in the house today.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Let me read from the NIV version of the Bible. It says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. This is based upon our theme for this celebration for the month, creating a space to experience God's grace. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for this marvelous work that you've done in the life, the season of this ministry. In this moment, oh God, you speak, I decrease that you might increase. God, in my excitement, in my joy, may there be some coherent word, Lord God, that your people might be able to receive today. You are good and you are able. So speak now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to thank God for my wife, Lady Jackie, amen, stands by my side. Amen. Can we thank God for First Lady Jackie Love? Come on, y'all. Come on. She doesn't like the title. I thank God for you. Creating a space to experience God's grace. God's grace, y'all, his undeserved favor is like a divine ointment that it fills the spaces and the cracks and the gaps, the imperfections of our souls. It restores the broken places in our lives. It was grace that flowed from a woman who showed up in a crowd with an issue of blood. Before the moment was over that she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Bible says that she was made whole from that moment, in that instance. It was grace that gave sight to a blind man on an old dusty road called Jericho. That he cried out, "Have mercy on me, son of David." And it was in that place and in that space that he received his sight. The grace showed up at a funeral procession. And the boy that was dead, after grace, after Jesus touched, as he touched the casket, the boy got up and he was restored to his mother. The very crumbs of grace fell down to a Syrophoenician woman that she was a non-Jew. And if you read the text and the context, somewhere in there, Jesus referred to her as a dog. But she said, "That's okay, I'll accept the crumbs from the table." And because of that, her demon-possessed child was healed in that very moment. Grace granted forgiveness to this adulterous woman whom they wanted to stone. But Jesus said to her, "Go, your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more." It was grace that calmed the storms of a few fearful disciples. Grace shows up at a particular place and time. It shows up in a space. Whether it's a storm or an angry mob, a graveyard, a house, a road, a crowd, grace shows up, y'all. Can I ask you a question? Where did grace show up in your world?
Oh, oh,
What road were you on? What issue were you dealing with when grace showed up in your life? I wonder if I got a few people in the house today, you're glad about God's grace. Grace showed up in your life. Grace showed up in my life, and we're glad about it. And so in our text for today, the Apostle Peter, one of the 12 disciples, the 12 original disciples, he's talking to a Jewish community. They're Jewish Christians, y'all, that have been scattered from their homeland in Jerusalem, and they were living in modern-day Turkey, but they were suffering for their faith. They were suffering physically, socially, mentally, politically, because of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. But even in their suffering, and their suffering was very real. Somebody hear me today. Your suffering is very real. But God knows that you're suffering. God knows what you're going through. But guess what? God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. God still has a purpose and a plan and a life that he wants you to live out for him. That's what Peter was trying to share with the Jewish Christians of the day. Peter says in this word, we're to keep away from worldly desires. Respect those who are in authority. That we're to be unified as Christians, that we're to love one another. That we're not to retaliate against one another, throw insults, backstab one another, not to lie. We're to work to maintain peace. And remember this, Peter says this, remember this, listen, God is watching. And I believe in this moment, in this season, God is watching Living Faith, what we will do in the days ahead of us. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith. God is watching us to see what we will do in this community. So how can we create a space for others to experience God's grace? How can we use what God has blessed us with to be a blessing to those who are around us? How can we use what God has given us to be a blessing to this community? Well, the gates at the end of the street say to passersby, listen, you are welcome here. That the gates are open to you. Come on in. Have a good time. Worship God with us. Or will those gates say, no, you're not welcome here? Because of your skin color. Because you don't worship like us. Because you're of a different political persuasion. That you're not welcome here. What will we do, Living Faith, in the days ahead? Can this be a space for God's grace to prevail? Well, if we're going to do it, I got a few things I want to share. And we're going to go on. I know y'all want to go and get some chicken and some bacon and eggs and all of that. But a few things I want to share with you this morning. So if we are going to create a space for God's grace to be here and be present in this place, the first thing is this, that we have to remain grateful for God's saving grace. Anybody glad about God's saving grace this morning? Don't fool me. Peter says that each of us should use whatever gift God has given us. The word gift here comes from the Greek. It means charisma. And by charisma, I'm not talking about charm and magnetic personality. Listen, charm and magnetic personality, it can't save you. But by gift and by charisma, by grace, what I'm talking about is God's favor. And what we all need to know, if you are a born-again believer, that's where it starts. And if you are a born-again believer, God's grace is upon you. His favor is upon you. I'm talking about saving grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not yours, it's a gift from God. It's the charisma, it's the favor of God upon your life and my life. It's not by works. It's only by the grace and the power of God. It was the Apostle Paul who said that, but by grace I am what I am. It's our gratitude for God's saving grace that should always drive our passion and our motivation for using our spiritual gifting. Talk about that in just a minute. See, I'm more willing to, to share God's grace. I'm more willing to share the word of God when I understand that I've been saved by grace, that I am a recipient of grace. And if I have received grace, I ought to give grace to people that are around me. There's a problem, y'all. When we come to this conclusion that I no longer need God's grace, I've been saved long enough that I don't need it anymore. That's a lie from the devil. Every morning we get up, we need God's grace. We need God's favor in our life. Thank God for his saving grace. Thank God for his keeping grace in our lives. God is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through Christ Jesus. We want this community to experience what we've already experienced, what we already know. We want this community to experience what we have experienced. We have experienced God's saving grace. And how glorious it is. Many years ago, Sister Jackie and I were traveling back and forth between San Antonio and Memphis, that somebody told us about a restaurant that we had to try, Brown's Country Store Restaurant. So we decided one way on our trek back into Memphis, we'd stop and we try this store, this restaurant. And so, y'all, we're traveling. We're going through this place called Benton, Arkansas. Maybe some of y'all know it. It's exit 118. Take exit 118, you go down about half a mile, you turn around. You take the turnaround, and there's a church, a red brick church on the right-hand side. You keep on traveling a little bit more, y'all, and then there it is right there, beans, greens, tomatoes, catfish, little pork chop, you name it, y'all, they got it. That it was an experience, y'all, that we had to tell somebody else about. It was just that good. Listen, if Brown's Country Store Buffet, if that experience can be that great, how much more should our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace be? That we can tell other people, listen, he's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. He's a good God. How much more should we not tell other people? But it begs the question, have you really experienced the saving grace of God? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm fine. I'm blind, but now I see. That kind of grace. But listen, if we are going to create this space, these grounds, if we're going to show the community something around us about experiencing God's grace, creating this space of grace, listen, We have to remain grateful for God's saving grace. Not only that, y'all, but real quick, being faithful stewards of God's personal gifting of grace. Again, you look at the text. Peter says that we're to use whatever gift that God has given us. That you're to use the gift that God has given you to serve others, to be faithful stewards of God's manifold or many forms of grace. A steward is simply a manager of that which belongs to someone else. But you're put in charge of it. It does not belong to you, but you have responsibility for it. Many of you are that you're managers on your job. That maybe some of you are in the education profession, maybe the medical profession, the law profession. And there is a responsibility that's been given, a thing for you to do. It does not belong to you. It belongs to someone else. What would it look like if you run up into Popeyes and the manager all jacked up, talking to you any kind of way, you know, looking at you strange, you know, so we don't have no more biscuits. You need to go somewhere else. But this is the manager of the establishment. Now, y'all look at it. Oh, yeah, he's using Popeyes. Yeah, I use Popeyes, y'all. Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Popeyes, yeah, yes, I do. But what would it look like, y'all? For the store does not belong to the manager. The manager is in charge. They're responsible and accountable for that establishment. That you are a steward of grace. You are a steward of God's favor. You are a steward of the charisma of God. But the question, what are you doing with the grace that God has given you? What are you doing with the gifting that God has given you? God has given you a gift and me a gift. You have a spiritual gift. I have a spiritual gift. All of God's children have at least one spiritual gift. And so your gift may not be mine. Mine is not yours. Peter says in the text, listen, if you have the ability to speak, speak as if it were God speaking through you. If you have the gifting of helps, listen, do it with all of your strength. Do it with all of your might. Do it with everything that you have as God supplies you. LFCC, God blessed us with this space. God blessed us with this place. And God will give us the energy. God will give us the wisdom. God will give us the strength to do what he's called us to do in this season. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. It talks about spiritual gifts. So my intent for the sermon is not to always talk all about spiritual, but you have a gift. I can't make that plain enough. So what am I saying to you, Living Faith? Look around you. I believe that God's going to fill the house. He's going to continue to fill the house. God's going to continue to fill the seats. But as God is filling seats, we need some folk to work. Let me give it to you straight without a chaser. We need some help. In my Memphis voice, we need some help, some H-E-P. We need some folk to work back in the nursery, in the children's ministry, in the youth ministry, some praise team members. Y'all quiet on me now. Be faithful stewards of God's personal gifting of grace. You have a purpose. God has a plan for your life. Some of you have yet to understand that. I love what Peter says in the text. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, he says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. What if getting a title is not all that God really wants for your life? What if having a big bank account, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, but what if that's not God's major priority for your life? What if being successful in the world's eyes is not God's greatest gift and will for your life? What if God wanted for all of us is to seek him and to truly serve him with all of our hearts? What if, and it is, that's what God wants from our lives? You were created for a purpose and for a reason. And you only find your real purpose and your reason as you rest in the promises and you trust in God. Amen. Listen, you are custom made. Yeah. Yeah. Being custom made, you were uniquely crafted for a purpose and for a reason. Some of you wear custom made suits. Some of you have some customs to design, some designer red bottom shoes. Some of you who are athletes, you're a bowler, you're an athlete. No pun, Minister Terrell, he's a good bowler. But I dare to say he probably had a few custom-made bowling balls. And so they enable him to hit the target when he throws the ball. It's custom-made. You got to know, you are custom-made, beloved of God, that you are handcrafted by God. God intends for you to hit a target, but you got to know that you are custom-made, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life and my life. These aren't just words. These are true words. We need your presence. Amen. Not just your seen presence. We need your felt presence. We need your hands working to do the work that God has called us to do. And if this word pricks your heart in any way and you're saying, listen, I'm hearing what you say, preacher. If you're going to run over to the youth room, run over to the children's room, do so today. We'll have somebody sign you up today. In the days ahead, we're going to do that. We're going to have a ministry fair, and we're going to ask you, Living Faith, to be a part of what's going on at this church. We're creating space so that others can experience God's marvelous grace, but we need your help to do it. We need your spiritual gifting to make it happen. This last thing, and I'm done, that we create space so that others can experience God's grace by ensuring that God gets the glory for his amazing grace. God gets the glory for his amazing grace. Look at what Peter says in the text. He says, in everything you do, Everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The New Living Translation, that was the New Living Translation. Listen, we can give glory to God through our worship and our praise. But the real way we give worship and glory to God is by what we do. That God has given you a thing to do, me a thing to do, but can God get the glory out of you? What makes grace so amazing to me, y'all, it's real simple. That God in his divine providence, that he saved a guy from the streets of Memphis, Tennessee. That he saved somebody like me, that's his saving grace. And God in his strength and in his wisdom, y'all, I can hardly pronounce a whole lot of the names in the Bible, y'all. They hard for me to pronounce. But God used somebody like me to stand before his people and declare the glory of Jesus Christ. That's amazing to me, y'all. I look around today. This is amazing to me. God would use a guy like me to do his bidding and to do his will. God took a Yugo and fixed him up and said, now you go. And I believe that's the same thing for all of our lives. Oh, the preacher calling us Yugos now. Listen, some of you young people, y'all don't know what a Yugo is. So if you sit next to a young person, explain to them what a Yugo is. They don't make them anymore, and they don't make them for a reason. I would use the expression Kia, but too many of y'all got those today. We won't. Kia's a good vehicle. Kia's a good vehicle. Now some of y'all looking at me, now don't talk about my Kia. Don't talk about my Kia. But we were all broken down Yugos, and God fixed us up. And God is saying to you and to you and to you and to you, now you go. God is calling all of us to carry out the Matthew 28 mandate, to go and to make disciples. That God is in the business, y'all, of using unlikely and unqualified people for his glory. I love the way somebody once said it a long time ago. He said, Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and he was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied God. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than one time, y'all. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. But God used all of these unlikely characters for the glory of God and to do the work that he called us to do. And Living Faith, God has called you and me. We're unlikely representatives, but God is calling you and me to do a work at 1111 Tally Road. All of us have a thing that God has called us to do. And out of all of this, y'all, guess what? God gets the glory. Those of you that know me, that I really believe this, that ministry should never be about a single personality. There are too many people that God is using to work within the confines of any ministry for it to always point to one person. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I don't need a billboard with my picture on it. I don't need my name in lights. There's one name in lights, and his name is Jesus Christ. That this ministry must be centered on, founded in Jesus Christ, that God and his son always gets the glory. Yeah, when I was young and we come to the table to eat, that my mother and my grandmama and them, they would always say, baby, listen, you gotta say grace. They say to me, listen, before you pick up that fork, boy, did you say your grace? So saying grace refers to the practice of thanking God for the food before your meal. Lord, we thank you for the food they're about to receive, for the nourishment of our bodies. In Christ's name, in Jesus' name, amen. It's about saying the blessing. Saying grace simply means recognizing that the food that you are about to eat, God gave it to you. I just really believe this. If saying grace is simply about thanking God and giving glory to God for food that we have to eat, then we have so much more to give glory to God about, y'all. We have so much more to give glory to God about. And I want to say to you, Living Faith, in this very moment, right now we ought to be saying grace. That we ought to stand on our feet at this very moment and tell God, thank you. God, thank you for this place that you've given us, Lord God. Not that we're about to receive, but you already gave us. God, we say thank you. Living Faith, can we stand up and say grace right now? God, we thank you and we praise you. God, we thank you and we praise you for the people that we're about to receive, Lord God, so that they can receive you. God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for this place that we have received in your name to do your work in this community. God, we thank you right now. Can you say grace right now? Come on, help me say grace to God. Give thanks to God. Give glory to his name. Bless his name. Give glory and honor to God. This is the work of the Lord. It is a marvelous thing in our sight. Only God did this, y'all. Say grace. Come on. Say grace. Say grace. Hallelujah. Say grace. Say grace. Say grace. Say thank you, Lord. 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 Say grace. Come on, come on. Say grace. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for this work that you have done. Hallelujah. 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 And amen. Perhaps there's someone in the house today that you have yet to experience the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here comes the point in our worship experience that makes all the difference. Let me ask you a question. To you that are tuned into Facebook Live, are you in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That perhaps you feel like I haven't dotted every I, crossed every T, none of us have. But it starts with a saving relationship in Jesus Christ. In all that we do in ministry today, and we do some things, and there's nothing wrong with them when we have coffee shops and bookstores and all of that. But the purpose of a ministry is to bring people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So again, if you're under the sound of my voice and you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need to have that today. Every head bowed. Father, every eye closed. God, here we are in this assembly asking that you do by the power of your Holy Spirit only what you can do. Holy Spirit, speak to the heart of a person right now that's not in a saving relationship. Let them know how much you love them. The Father loves them. And the truth that Jesus Christ came and he died for their sins, but he did not stay dead. That 3 days later, he got back up with all power. We all admit that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And that we are in need of your saving grace. And it only comes through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you for his blood. Speak now, Holy Spirit, by your power. Draw them only as you can. This is our prayer. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.